WWE was back in Saudi Arabia to get themselves some of that sweet Saudi money. They were in Jeddah for the Elimination Chamber show. Here we are on the road to WrestleMania, the last big show for WrestleMania 38 in Dallas. 20 years. 20 years after the very first Elimination Chamber match at Madison Square Garden at the Survivor Series, which if you listen to Michael Cole on commentary tonight, I mean, the great Shawn Michaels, in his first match back in years, won the WWE Championship. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I mean, I could have sworn that was a completely different belt. I could have sworn he actually had a classic match a few months before that. But apparently, I'm wrong. So we got a little bit of a history lesson tonight from Michael Cole. So we got two more Elimination Chamber matches today. We're going to start with the lead here. Brock Lesnar is the WWE champion. Water is wet, grass is green, the sky is blue, and Brock Lesnar is the WWE champion. Was it ever going to go any other way? Come on. Come on. What did I say the minute they added Lesnar to this match a few weeks ago? The moment Brock Lesnar was added to the Elimination Chamber match, you knew he wasn't going to lose. You knew that Brock Lesnar was not going to Saudi Arabia and losing in back-to-back pay-per-view matches. I don't know why people torture themselves by thinking otherwise. So we had all these reports. We had all these reports about twists and turns that WWE has planned for the Elimination Chamber. I'm still waiting for these twists and turns. You know what? I'm glad. Predictable as it might have been, I'm glad that we didn't get twists and turns, because twists and turns would have meant Bill Goldberg as the Universal Champion. Twists and turns would have meant that Bianca Belair would not be getting her match with Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. So while I understand that some people are going to be upset that they went with the predictable outcomes in a lot of these matches, I'm not one of those people. I'm okay with that. But I was struck as I watched that main event. And I watched Brock Lesnar enter the ring after Bobby Lashley, in who I presume storyline, you know, injury, concussion protocol and all that, they took him out of the match before Lashley even exited his pod. And I watched Brock Lesnar enter the chamber and lay waste to every single person in his path. The first person he goes after is Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins, who I thought they had, you know, an excellent match with Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble, to where when it was over, I was thinking, well, maybe they can find a way to work him in to that main event of WrestleMania. Maybe they can actually find a way to work him in and make it a triple threat. Maybe they'll keep Rollins in the mix. There's still more they could do there with him and Roman Reigns. Oh, my goodness. You know, he got laid out with an F5 like a geek. And then Brock Lesnar gets up and he does the exact same thing to every other person in the match. Matt Riddle, F5'd, goodbye. AJ Styles, F5'd, goodbye. He tortured Austin Theory for a little while. You know, like an animal is kind of like a cat playing with its prey, or somebody ripping the wings off a fly. But he befell, the same fate befell him. No surprise there. Twists and turns. That's all I read about in the week leading up to this event. Twists and turns. Brock Lesnar is the WWE champion again. Brock Lesnar, I must say, you know, and I pointed this out a few weeks ago, Brock Lesnar has quite the streak going here. Brock Lesnar was responsible for taking the WWE championship away from all of the other black WWE, specifically WWE, champions in history. He beat The Rock SummerSlam 20 years ago. 20 years ago this year, he beat The Rock to win his first WWE title. He beat Kofi Kingston in 8 seconds. He took the title away from Big E at day one. And now you could add Bobby Lashley to the list, because even though they never touched, Bobby Lashley's second run as the WWE champion comes to an end at the hands of who? Who? Say it with me. Brock Lesnar. What a fine gift for Black History Month for Bobby Lashley. So the streak continues. For Brock Lesnar. I don't know why anybody should be surprised. The moment he got added to the match, it should have been obvious where this was going. For weeks, they teased the idea of champion against champion. Lesnar wanted winner take all. That's what Paul Heyman said, right? A few weeks ago, I think he might have actually used those words. And they teased it enough that you had to know there was a reason behind it. They weren't going to throw that out there and not deliver champion against champion. And now that is what we have heading into WrestleMania. They were looking for a big main event attraction for WrestleMania. Now they have their attraction. I hope they go all the way with it. I hope they go all the way with it, because one thing that struck me watching that main event tonight, as excited as I was, maybe that Rollins could work his way into the main event picture, they closed the door on that tonight. That's over. That's done. That's dead. All the people who thought AJ Styles would win the title, give AJ a title match at WrestleMania. Yeah, how's that going? Look what happened in that main event tonight. And that right there flies in the face of what Brock Lesnar was talking about when he was on the Pat McAfee show. Because he was on Pat McAfee's show and was talking about the younger generation. Talking about how, man, you know what I want to see? You know what I want to see? I want these guys to go out there and get over. I want these guys to go out there and get themselves over. I want them to make fucking money. Take the world by the balls and get themselves over. One by one by one by one, they fell in the main event. Geek, 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 geek. Every single one of them castrated in that main event. The outcome, not a surprise. The way they went about doing it, fucking stupid. That's right, Rodimus. Fuck Bully Ray, indeed. Thank you for that super chat. So that was quite telling, the way they treated everybody in that match in the main event. That right there is one of the classic examples you could point to of why WWE is in the rut that it's in, where it cannot make new stars. Cannot make new stars. How are you going to make new stars when you treat them like fucking geeks? Every single one of them, from AJ Styles down to Austin Theory, was treated like a fucking dweeb in that match. And the only thing that mattered when that thing was over was one man, Brock Lesnar. Nobody else had a chance to shine. Nobody else. Austin Theory took a hell of an F5 bump. We'll get into that later on off the top of the pod. But that's the problem when you hear someone like Lesnar talk about, well, I don't understand why these guys can't just get themselves over. Gee, I wonder why. I wonder why. Even Brock Lesnar, if he were to have come along today for the very first time, would have had his fucking nuts cut off. Because nobody is allowed to get over in WWE today. Not unless they anoint you first. Going out and getting yourself over, that doesn't really exist anymore in WWE. Not unless you have the Pope's blessing. Pope McMahon, he blesses you, then maybe you'll get over. There was another chamber match on this show. Bianca Belair is going to WrestleMania. Again, predictable finish. Nothing out of left field here. It's the right move to make. It's the right story to tell. Bianca's going to WrestleMania. Bianca is going to challenge Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's Championship. And Bianca, hopefully, is going to get her revenge, a measure of revenge for what happened to her at SummerSlam back in August. 26 seconds, my ass. That is the right match to have at WrestleMania for the Raw Women's title. I was happy to see that. But you know what I was most happiest about? You know what really just warmed me to no end was the Universal Championship match that opened the show. Because I was terrified. Here we are in the month of February, which has been a very good month for old Billy Boy. Boombox Bill, Bill Goldberg, he came back. He cashed in the Goldberg in the Bank to get himself another Universal title match against Roman Reigns. And I see all these reports about twists and turns heading into WrestleMania. And now I'm starting to think, oh my God, they wouldn't. They couldn't. They didn't. You know why they didn't? I'm not even going to give them credit. You know why they didn't? Right here. This is why. I had my trusty voodoo doll, and I had my black pins, and I had my white pins, and as soon as the match started, I busted out. There he is right there. I busted out my little voodoo doll, and when Goldberg went to pick up Roman Reigns for that jackhammer, I went, right there. And Goldberg stumbled. Oh, and he dropped Roman Reigns. You know why? Because I had my voodoo doll, so you're welcome. The voodoo doll saved us from a Bill Goldberg Universal Championship win. I am convinced of that. I'm going to keep this for another day. I have a feeling with this company, I'm going to need it. So Roman Reigns is still the Universal Champion. We're going to get into everything here, man. We have a lot to unpack. We have a lot to get into here with this Elimination Chamber show. I am so happy that you guys are joining me, choosing me for your Elimination Chamber coverage on a Saturday afternoon. Drop those super chats, because I'm going to be reading each and every single one of them. Every message you send me, every question, every comment, we're going to be reading them. We're going to be going through them a little bit later on. I don't know how many likes we have right now. You guys will update me in the chat. Do hit that like button. Let's see if we could at least get to 500. Let's see if we could do that much at least. That put a smile on my face. And also, a little bit later on in the stream, I am actually very excited about this because today's review is brought to you by Magic Spoon. And I cannot wait to talk about this. I'm very excited to have them as a new sponsor. But more than that, I have found something that I genuinely enjoy snacking on, and I cannot wait to share all of that with you. So we'll get into all that. We had a match that was moved off the main card onto the kickoff show. The Miz, one-on-one against Rey Mysterio, was moved onto the kickoff. So here I am sitting here at 11:30 in the morning watching The Miz wrestling. What am I doing with my life? Of all the things I could be doing on my weekends, on my Saturday morning, I mean, what is this, 1990 when I'm watching Superstars before American Gladiators comes on? I think I would have rather go back and watch one of those Superstars from 1990. Give me some of that. Instead, I'm watching The Miz in Saudi Arabia against Rey Mysterio. But they went in there, and I thought the two of them actually had a good match. They work well together. It was a crowd-pleasing match with the good guy going over. Rey Mysterio picks up the win. Dominic was out there in Rey's corner. Miz grabbed a chair. He was trying to bring it into the ring, and Dominic stopped him, grabbed it away from him. Miz pulled an Eddie Guerrero, and he pretended that he got assaulted by Dominic, which the referee didn't see, except when he turned around. He saw Dominic standing there with a chair in his hand, and so he just sort of assumed that Dominic had gotten involved, and so he ejected him from ringside. Back in the ring, though, he set Rey up for the skull-crushing finale. Rey shoved him into the ropes, and when he came off, he rolled up Miz for the three count. So the classic roll-up finish. Rey Mysterio picks up the win. After the match, Miz attacked Rey. Dominic tackled Miz. And we got a double 619, dual frog splashes from both Mysterios. And that closed things out. So like I said, a crowd-pleasing match, a crowd-pleasing finish that is clearly building to something. It was teased later on in the night. We will get to that. No Cody Rhodes on this show, by the way, all the people wondering. I saw that picture floating around on social media, showing Cody taking a picture with somebody supposedly in Poland. Do we even know if that picture is from Poland? All I saw was a picture of Cody at an airport with somebody. I felt like this was fucking Carmen Sandiego or something. Like, where is Cody? The Amazing Global Adventures of Cody Rhodes. No Cody Rhodes. Although Cody is coming, Cody was not in Saudi Arabia. Cody will come. Cody will be here before Veer is. I got a lot to say about Cody Rhodes. This is going to be a hell of a podcast tomorrow, episode 744. You're not going to want to miss that. We got a lot to get into there. But the actual pay-per-view or premium, and I don't think I can even really use that word for this show, premium live event kicked off with the Universal Championship on the line. It was indeed Roman Reigns here, and what I believe is day number 537 is the champion defending against Bill Goldberg, who we were reminded by Corey Graves on commentary, won his very first world championship by beating Hulk Hogan in WCW. Roman Reigns is now part of a very elite club as far as the length of his world championship run with that title in WWE. He is in the rarefied air now with Pedro Morales, Bob Backlund, Hulk Hogan, and Bruno Sammartino for longest WWE title reigns of all time. And so you can imagine my concern at the idea that of all people, Bill Goldberg would be trotted back in and would take that championship away from Roman Reigns this close to WrestleMania. This was the match that was originally supposed to happen at WrestleMania 2 years ago. I said February has been very kind to Bill Goldberg when it comes to the Universal title. He beat Kevin Owens for it. He killed The Fiend, took the title away from him. Roman entered first, which I hated. The champion should never enter first. It took almost a full minute before they finally locked up. Reigns sent him out to the floor, smashed him face first on the Arabic announce table. He went to whip him into the barricade, but Goldberg reversed him into it instead and went on offense. He got Roman back into the ring. Reigns cut him off, and he went to work. Roman hit the ropes, but Goldberg caught him with a spear. So So he cut this man down with a spear. He signaled for the jackhammer. Roman avoided it, and he hit a big uranage for a near fall. Hey, he stole Becky Lynch's move, guys. Because, you know, that's Becky Lynch's move now. Even though it looks terrible most of the time when she uses it. Like for the finish in her match tonight. Roman Reigns was stealing some of Becky's thunder here in this match. Using her finish, and then Goldberg kicked out. So we had a Superman punch. Down goes Goldberg. And again, Roman setting up for the spear. Goldberg, though, hits him with a second spear. And he tries for the jackhammer again. Now, as Goldberg went for the jackhammer, I sat here at home, here in New York. They're all the way over there in Saudi Arabia. I'm here in New York, and Goldberg's getting ready for the jackhammer. And I've got this, and I'm going... And Goldberg didn't quite hit the jackhammer. Roman was able to reverse it into a guillotine choke, and I said, mwah. Job well done. So he gets him in the guillotine. Tried driving Reigns back into the corner, but he wouldn't release the hold. Reigns held on. Goldberg is trying to fight this guy off. Reigns is not letting go. Goldberg eventually goes down. He goes out, and the referee calls for the stoppage at 6 minutes on the dot. I had my stopwatch going. Wanted to see how long this match was going to go. 6 minutes on the dot. You could not have timed that any better. That's about the max, I think, that this match should have gone. And Roman Reigns, via ref stoppage, retains the Universal Championship. When it was over, I thought, you know, this was a completely, you know, inoffensive match. I actually thought the match was fine. It could have been a disaster. We've seen Goldberg in Saudi Arabia. We've seen Goldberg go in there and have disasters of matches. You know, whether he gets hurt, he gets concussed, or whatever it is. You know, he was bleeding from the head a little bit. I didn't see how it happened. He always bleeds from the head. Something about the skin on this guy's head. It's always bleeding. But I thought Goldberg, you know, for what he did here in this match, he doesn't do much. You know, he hits a couple of spears. He hits a jackhammer, or he goes to hit a jackhammer. What else does he do? He doesn't do anything else. He sells, and he sells, and he sells, and he sells, and then he hits a spear out of nowhere. He bleeds. He sells. That's all he does. That's all he can do at this point. But what he did was fine. It was completely unnecessary, but it was fine. We know they want names, they want attractions in Saudi Arabia, that's why he's there. Any other outcome to this match other than the one that we got here would have been a complete travesty. An absolute, complete travesty. So I was glad they didn't try to get cute. They didn't go with Bully Ray's idea, Bully the fucking clown. Oh, let's have Goldberg beat Roman Reigns and swerve everybody, and he'll win the championship. And then 6 days later on SmackDown, we'll do a rematch on TV. And we'll put the belt right back on Roman Reigns. Thank fucking God Bully Ray is not booking this product. This was the right outcome. And now Bill Goldberg can go off and ride off into the sunset. He's a big car guy. He can get in his car. And he can ride off into the sunset, into retirement, and enjoy his golden years. Even though you know the WWE is going to flash another contract in front of him, and you know that he's going to sign that contract. So even though I wish Bill the best in retirement, you know he's coming back. You know that he's coming back. Just a matter of time. But this was the last match on his contract. So as of this moment, this was his retirement match. Hopefully it stays that way. He has faced all of the big names that people would have wanted to see him in the ring with. I know Big E was hoping to get a match. He's a big Goldberg guy. But, you know, we saw him against Drew McIntyre. We saw him against Brock Lesnar. We saw him against Roman Reigns. We saw him against Dolph fucking Ziggler. We saw him almost kill The Undertaker. We've seen him a couple of times against Bobby Lashley. Braun Strowman, The Fiend, Kevin Owens. This guy's practically run through almost the entire roster. Enjoy your retirement. I've exhausted my supply of Goldberg. You know, it also made me happy at the end of this match, and I do want to give a shout out here to my boy Fawaz. Acknowledge me. Hey, he said he had a better seat this time than he had for the last one. He wasn't kidding. There's Fawaz in the crowd. You can't see him. You see his sign, though. I want to give him a shout out here. I know he's going to be, if he's not watching this now, he'll be watching this later on. Fawaz was at the show in Jeddah. and brought himself a sound-off sign representing the podcast halfway around the world. I fucking love it. Fawaz, wherever you are, brother, I love you, my friend. You love to see it. Acknowledge me. Thank you to him for that. And that sign was on television a whole bunch of times tonight. Almost everybody who made an entrance on this show was like, boom, there's the sound-off logo. So I knew exactly where Fawaz was sitting. Next up was the Women's Elimination Chamber match for a Raw Women's Championship match. Raw Women's title will be defended at WrestleMania. And we were going to find out here, hey, Hitman, thank you for the super chat. Thank you for the $25 Hardy Monster. Thank you, sir. But we had the first of two Elimination Chamber matches here on this show. All the women dressed head to toe, as they have to be here on these shows. Bianca Belair would enter last. We knew that because she won the gauntlet match on Raw this past Monday night. So we have Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, who was doing pull-ups inside her pod, Doudrop, Nikki A.S.H., Liv Morgan, and the returning Alexa Bliss. The returning Alexa Bliss, who we have not seen in the ring since her match with Charlotte Flair. I want to say, what was that, October, I think? It's been many months since Alexa Bliss has set foot in the ring. And we've been seeing on television every week all of these therapy sessions with her doctor, trying to, you know, kind of bring her back out of this trance or whatever it was, this weird state that she's been in now for so long, trying to help her. And it looked like they had made progress. But yet here comes Alexa Bliss on this show, and she looks exactly the same way. She's wearing the same makeup and the same kind of gear, coming out to the same music. She didn't have the doll with her. Didn't the doctor say that she should go everywhere with the doll, never be without the doll? I didn't see the doll. But she looked exactly the same. It was the same exact character she was playing before she started with these stupid therapy sessions. The whole thing was a complete waste of time. Nothing was different about her. So Liv Morgan and Nikki started the match. They went at it for a little bit. We had Doudrop entering third. And she bounced off the ropes outside the ring. You know, they had the platform, which has all the padding now. And she splashed Nikki against the cage. Liv Morgan went after Doudrop, but she got put down with a senton splash. Nikki dodged a charging Doudrop, who ran into the ring post. Rhea Ripley's pod opened next, and Nikki got a terrified look on her face when she realized that Rhea was coming into the match. Nikki scaled the cage, trying to escape. Rhea, though, grabbed her foot, yanked her off, and she fell down onto Morgan and Doudrop, and they all fell to the ground. Shout out to Brian's News Alert, who just became a sound-off legend. That's our top tier for membership here on this channel. Hey, Brian. Thank you, sir. Shout out to Brian. I don't know what News Alert he had, but I just cut in with a News Alert from Brian. Thank you, Brian. So Rhea hit Nikki with the Riptide after that, eliminated Nikki, so she went bye-bye. They got rid of the weak link here in this match right away. Alexa Bliss was out next. Alexa Bliss was out of her pod next. Her first time in the ring in many months, and she took everybody down. She actually looked really good here in this quick flurry of offense. She took everybody down. She was hitting all of her signature moves. Liv Morgan took out Doudrop with a sunset bomb off the top, and Doudrop was eliminated. Bianca Belair was last out of her pod. She pressed Liv Morgan over her head with one arm. She planted Alexa with a spine buster, and then she turned around and ran into Rhea Ripley. These two women tangled at the end of the gauntlet match that we saw on Raw this past Monday night. Rhea went about 40 minutes in that gauntlet before Bianca beat her to earn the right to enter last here. So anytime these two come together like this, and I felt this way last year at WrestleMania. If you remember last year's WrestleMania, it was Rhea Ripley winning the championship from Asuka, and it was Bianca Belair winning the championship from Sasha Banks. And it really did in many ways feel like, okay, we're starting a new era here for this women's division. Now, it didn't exactly work out that way. Rhea had a terrible year. Rhea Ripley being relegated doing what she's been doing has been a complete waste of Rhea Ripley. But still, when these two are in the ring together like that, it feels like these are the two sort of flag bearers of this division. And it gets a reaction out of people. So Hitman WA just became a Sound Off legend. I like that name. You've already won brownie points with me. So anyway, we got Rhea face-to-face with Bianca. They each took turns giving delayed vertical suplexes. Bianca gave one to Liv. Rhea gave one to Alexa. It was funny because she had Alexa upside down in this suplex. And Alexa's outfit, her skirt or whatever it was, came down over Rhea's head. And she tried to keep picking it up, and it was obscuring her vision. Then eventually they dropped them with the suplex, but Rhea couldn't see. Rhea got quite the view, probably, under Alexa's skirt. Bianca got Rhea up for the KOD, but she avoided it. Liv then hit her finish on Bianca, a double code breaker on Bianca and Rhea at the exact same time. Bliss, out of nowhere, took out Liv, and then she connected with Twisted Bliss to eliminate Liv Morgan, which pissed off a lot of people online. Oh boy, you should have seen some of the messages that I was getting on my timeline when Liv Morgan got eliminated from this match. All the Liv fans, they were not happy about that. They were not happy about that. KOD to Rhea Ripley, and Belair pinned Rhea Ripley, so bye-bye Rhea, and that brought it down to two. Came down to Rhea Ripley. Well, actually, Rhea was eliminated. Came down to Bianca Belair and Alexa Bliss. They were the final two here in this match. Alexa hit a code red, only got two. She tried for a Rana. Bianca caught her, powerbombed her back and forth. She would bounce her off the top rope and then powerbomb her into the side of the cage and bounce her on the top rope and powerbomb her into the cage. Bianca tried for a Phoenix Splash, missed. Alexa went for the DDT that she does in a lot of her matches, but Bianca handsprung out of it. She went for the springboard moonsault off the ropes. Alexa got her knees up. Alexa Bliss was fighting back, but she just could not put this woman away. No matter what she did, she could not put Bianca down. And Bianca ended up getting her up on her shoulders, hit the KOD, and got the 1-2-3. And if you'll notice, I will point out that there were boos. Wasn't, you know, universal, but there were boos. There were audible, noticeable boos from the crowd when Bianca pinned Alexa. So whether that is Alexa Bliss fans unhappy that she lost, or it was just people who didn't want to see Bianca win, there were definitely people in the crowd who were unhappy with that finish. But too bad. Too bad. Because it was the right finish, and I give them credit for doing the right thing here. When they do the right thing, I give them credit. It just so happens that I don't have a lot to give them credit for, because a lot of the times they don't do the right thing. But this was the right finish. Bianca was the right choice to go over here. She punches her ticket to a match with Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. And so for the second straight match here on this show, we had the correct outcome. I will say, you know, bringing back Alexa Bliss, because this was her first match in many months, bringing back Alexa Bliss just to lose, I assume, is going to tie into her ongoing storyline. She'll probably be right back in the doctor's office on TV this week. I'm assuming this is going to tie into this ongoing story. I mean, it looked like the therapy sessions were over. Maybe they're not. Maybe she's going to go back. Because otherwise, it's just very weird that they would bring her back just for her to lose. But you know what? They did the exact same thing with Sasha Banks. Now, that may have had more to do with the injury that Sasha sustained. Maybe she couldn't go for very long in the Royal Rumble, but they made a big deal on that last SmackDown before the Royal Rumble. Sasha Banks made her big comeback. She'd been off television for weeks. She comes back. She's in the Royal Rumble. She enters in number one. She doesn't even last 10 minutes. They have fucking Zelina Vega eliminating Sasha Banks from the Royal Rumble. We haven't seen her since. Now, maybe Sasha went to them and said, look, I want to be in the Rumble. Put me in the Rumble. I want to wear my Sailor Moon costume. Put me in the Rumble. And she's not fully healed. I don't know, but, you know, look, this has happened before. We've seen them do stuff like this before. That didn't make sense, and this also was very strange why you would bring somebody back like that and then just beat them and have them lose. But look, Alexa Bliss was the last one eliminated here. It didn't come down to Bianca and Rhea. It came down to Bianca and Alexa. It just so happened that in the end, she couldn't pull it off. But I see a ton of disappointment online that Liv Morgan didn't win. I see a ton of disappointment that Alexa Bliss didn't win. I don't know why you people are so surprised about this. And I know I sound like a broken record here, but I will say it again for the people who don't understand. Liv Morgan got numerous matches on television against Becky Lynch, and she lost, I think, pretty much every single one of them. Now, some of them Becky cheated. In others, she didn't. Liv Morgan was never going to the Royal Rumble and winning. Liv Morgan was never going into the Elimination Chamber and winning because her story is done. Her story is finished. Now, will they eventually come back to her? Will she get the title at some point? Forever is a long time. I can't sit here and tell you she'll never be the champion. But she ain't going to be the champion anytime soon. They needed somebody to put with Becky to kill time until WrestleMania. Who else do they have in that division? Alexa only just came back. They don't have that many other people. Liv Morgan was the de facto choice, and she ran with it. She made the most of her opportunity. She put in some of the best promo work. She got more promo time than she has at any other point in her entire career. And there were some, you know, pretty good matches in there. There were other matches that weren't so great. She made the most of the time they gave her, but it was never meant to be anything more than that. So I don't know why people are still clinging to this idea. Liv Morgan, they got something planned for her at WrestleMania. They never had anything planned for her at WrestleMania. You convinced yourself that they had something planned for her at WrestleMania, but it didn't. It didn't exist. Alexa Bliss, there was a history there with her and Charlotte, but they were never doing that match either. Once they got Ronda Rousey back, they weren't doing anything with Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss. Believe me. Becky and Alexa was not the right story. Simple as that. What are they going to do now? I don't know. Probably be in some multi-woman match. But I don't know why people are so shocked and so disappointed. Did they honestly believe this was going to go any other way? As far as chamber matches go, I thought this one was very tame. It was good. I mean, I was entertained for the most part. It wasn't a bad match. But as Elimination Chamber matches go, very tame. They've had much better matches that make use of the actual chamber. And they didn't do much of that here in this match. Speaking of the ladies, that brings us to the next match here. We had Charlotte Flair, speak of the devil, and Sonya Deville against Naomi and Ronda Rousey, with Rousey having one arm tied behind her back. Ronda was wearing a blue gi with no shoes. So I guess even though you have to be covered from, I was going to say head to toe in Saudi Arabia, I guess it's head to ankle. I guess feet are okay. So she had the blue gi, no shoes. I actually think the gi suits her very well. You know, it's what she would wear when she used to do judo. And I think that it works well for her. I think she should keep the look. It's better than whatever she was wearing at the Royal Rumble. But I know she was concerned. Yeah, look, she just had a kid a few months ago. So, you know, I can understand it if she's not ready to get back in her old gear. But I just thought the gi was fine. The gi works. As soon as the referee secured her arm behind her, Sonya, who had a sling still on her arm from what Ronda did to her a couple of weeks ago, pulled the sling off and revealed that she was no longer hurt at all. And Charlotte was very hesitant to get into the ring as... Tuxedo in the chat says the rules officials have a foot fetish. Or maybe they do. I don't know. But apparently that's allowed, I guess. I guess that's allowed. Yeah, karate. And again, I'll just go back to this real quick. Karate, that's exactly the point that I'm making. He says Liv has worked hard. She is not main event material. You can work very hard, but not everybody is destined to be in the main event. Not everybody is destined to get that main event push. I never got that vibe from Liv Morgan that she, you know, she was in the plans to be in the main event of WrestleMania. And I never felt that that should be the match. I never felt that she should be in the match of WrestleMania. That wasn't it. Not everybody is destined to go there. But already with the booing that we saw here in this crowd and the people turning against her online, boy, you talk about these fickle fans turning against Bianca Belair. Don't forget, Bianca Belair is the one who got fucked at SummerSlam. 26 seconds, they took that championship off of her. This is just her coming back. It's all coming back around, right? What goes around comes around. She'll get that belt back, and then they move on to somebody else. Who the hell knows who that's going to be? They're going to have to call up some new people. But again, I don't know why people put themselves through this torture. get their hopes up. But Charlotte did not want any piece of Ronda. Ronda wanted her to tag in. Charlotte had no desire to tag into the match. So Naomi got in there. She went at it with Deville for a little bit. And Ronda had Sonya in position. It looked like she was getting ready to fall backwards for the armbar. Charlotte got into the ring and she booted Ronda right in the side of the head. There was a cool spot where Naomi hit a corkscrew dive out over the top rope onto Charlotte. Naomi went up top for a crossbody block on Flair. Flair caught Naomi going for a Hurricane Rana and powerbombed her. Charlotte applied the figure four. Ronda ran in, kicked Flair to break the hold. Sonya hit Naomi with a running knee. And Rousey tagged in again, ended up giving Deville her Piper's Pit move. And then she applied the armbar for the submission win. I thought that this was pretty dull stuff, honestly. This match was pretty dull. I thought Naomi looked real good in this match. Naomi looked better probably than anybody else of the four. She was the one who I thought came out of this looking the best. The match itself, though, very dull. Ronda is still working off the ring rust, obviously, from being gone for 3 years. Right now, she doesn't look like somebody who should be anywhere near the championship. But, you know, they're rushing right into it, so we're getting it, whether she's ready for it or not. Hey, the famine. The famine. I didn't know we had a famine here on the channel, but apparently we do. Thank you for the sub. Where are we at here? Let me see where we're at. We are live here on a Saturday afternoon. Oh, we got 1,700, only 350 likes. What's going on here? Stick that thumb up my ass. Let's go. Get that thumbs up. I want to hit at least 500 here. I know you guys can deliver for me. So we had Drew McIntyre taking on Madcap Moss. Oh, joy. I know you were all looking forward to this match when you were getting ready to watch Sweet Saudi Money here today. I know you had that match right at the top of your list. Oh, boy, I can't wait to see Drew McIntyre again, one-on-one against the guy in the suspenders. Well, lucky you, you're in business here. You're a lot luckier than Madcap Moss. Although, actually, Madcap Moss is the luckiest man on earth, and I'm going to tell you why here in a second, and I'm going to show you why Madcap Moss is the luckiest man on the face of the earth. We had Falls Count Anywhere was the stipulation between these two. Corbin and Moss both smothered McIntyre at the beginning because, again, in a match like this, there's no disqualifications. No disqualifications in a match like this. Now, what's kind of goofy about this is the fact that you've got a match where Baron Corbin could interfere at will if you wanted to. I mean, this would basically be a handicap match. But you'll notice how he picked his spots, right? He would interfere here and there, but otherwise he would back away. And I'm watching this and I'm going, dude, just commit to it. Like, you're either interfering or you're not. You're not going to get disqualified. Why is he not grabbing a chair? Why is he not grabbing, the ring bell or something? That was kind of goofy. But they fought up the ramp. Moss suplexed Drew on the ramp for a near fall. But there was a spot. We may as well just get right to it. There was a spot in the middle of this match where they got back into the ring. McIntyre hit an Alabama Slam. We see him use this move in some of his matches. He hit the Alabama Slam to Madcap Moss, and Moss landed very badly. He landed very badly right on top of his head. The referee immediately checked on him just to make sure he was still alive, which thankfully he was. It was very scary. And this right here, they showed the replay in slow-mo, and it looked even worse. So you're seeing there the moment of impact, but if you watch the actual replay, you can see where his head hits the mat. It's almost like his neck gets compressed. That's what made it so scary. So he took a nasty, nasty bump. And by all accounts, he was checked out after the show. The report I saw on PW Insider said that he's okay. Hopefully he is. But I got to tell you, when I watched this, first of all, my first thought was, if this guy gets away without a concussion, he's the luckiest fucking guy in the world. That's number one. Number two, I have no idea why they didn't stop this match. I have no idea why this match wasn't stopped. So after that, McIntyre was just suplexing this guy all over the place outside the ring until Corbin hit Drew in the back with a chair. And the two of them threw McIntyre through the barricade over by the timekeeper's area. Back in the ring, Drew cut off Moss up top. He was thinking about doing something, and Drew had other ideas. Drew hit him with a superplex instead. McIntyre hit the Future Shock DDT, which is the last thing Moss needed to take. And he went to the corner. He was going to set up for the Claymore kick. So Corbin, at this point, decides, now is a good time for me to get back in the ring. I see my guy here, my boy Madcap, is in trouble. I'm going to get into the ring, and I'm going to charge in at Drew McIntyre. Well, Drew McIntyre grabbed his sword. He grabbed Angela. And he took a swing, and he tried to decapitate Baron Corbin, and he missed, sadly. But he tried. He tried to chop this man's head off. And he ducked out of the way just in the nick of time. McIntyre delivered the Claymore to Moss while holding the sword in his other hand. And he picked up the win. Poor Drew McIntyre. Poor Drew McIntyre. 2 years in a row, he has challenged for the WWE Championship. And this year, he's going to be relegated to Baron Corbin at WrestleMania. Unless they blow this thing off on TV, that's certainly the way it looks right now. Talk about going from the outhouse to the penthouse, because he used to be in the outhouse. Going from the outhouse, finally he's on that top floor in the penthouse, right back down to the outhouse. Now, I know he's had neck problems himself, and they were unsure at first whether or not he would even be able to be at WrestleMania. It looks like he will, so I guess they couldn't really... You know, you can't program this guy in anything major. If he's hurt, you think you might not have him. But still, just the optics of him now being relegated to Baron Corbin is very sad. Miz was in the back. Miz was in the back doing a promo talking about how he was outnumbered on the kickoff show in his match against Rey Mysterio. He was outnumbered by the Mysterios. It was like a handicap match out there. And he said that he would find a tag team partner. And he had somebody in mind, somebody like him with his features and a big stars, like a global star he was talking about. And he goes, he had somebody in mind that he goes, I got to go make a phone call. And I'm thinking he should at least wait until he gets back to the States, you know, instead of making that long distance phone call from over there. But he says this, and my first thought was, oh God, we're getting Dashing Cody Rhodes. It's going to be Dashing Cody Rhodes coming back. Maybe he'll even have the mask on. Remember the mask that Cody used to wear? We're getting Dashing Cody Rhodes teaming with The Miz at WrestleMania. And everybody was joking in the last few days. Watch, they're going to bring him back and they're going to program him right with The Miz. And I said, oh my God, they're actually doing it. However, PW Insider is saying that the word backstage at the show in Saudi Arabia is that the tag team partner for The Miz at WrestleMania, the belief is that the tag team partner is going to be none other than Logan Paul. Remember Logan Paul? Logan Paul was at last year's WrestleMania. He was part of that whole angle with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. So it looks like they're bringing back Logan Paul again. Logan Paul and then possibly Johnny Knoxville. That's the other rumor. Johnny Knoxville challenging possibly for the Intercontinental Championship. This is how the WrestleMania card is shaping up so far. This is what happens when you have back-to-back nights in a giant stadium and you've got a bunch of tickets that you have to sell. And you look at your roster and you say, we don't have any stars, so we've got to go bring in Logan Paul. We've got to go bring in Johnny Knoxville. We've got to try to coax Stone Cold Steve Austin out of retirement. We've got to do all these things, bring back Ronda Rousey, all these things. So what happens when you rely on outside celebrities to come on in and try to sell your show for you? You know, it's a mid-card feud, a mid-card match. You know, it's not like a main event thing. I actually don't mind it if they end up doing something with Knoxville and Zayn, because I think it would be good for Sami Zayn. Actually, not a bad spot for him to be in. The fact that it might be for the Intercontinental title is horrendous. But the problem is, you could do one of those. But when you start doing two or three of those, it becomes ridiculous. But I would much rather it be Logan Paul than Cody Rhodes. Because for them, if they get Cody back and they put Cody in a match like that, then they're fucking brain dead. So better it be Logan Paul than Cody Rhodes. We had Becky Lynch against Lita for the Raw Women's Championship. This was a bit, and here's another example, right? Now, Lita went in there tonight. Tonight? I don't even... It's midday here. I guess over there it would be tonight. Lita went in there, and she actually had a good... I thought she acquitted herself very well. I thought Lita looked good here in this match. And clearly, she trained, and she prepared, and trained hard. She didn't want to go out there and hurt herself or embarrass herself or anything like that, because WWE only asked her to do the one match. She wasn't even planning to be there. She was coming back for the Royal Rumble. And she said at the Rumble, they said, hey, how'd you like to do a match in Saudi against Becky? And she had to drive 6 hours or whatever it was to get to Monday Night Raw the next night because she thought she was just coming in for the Rumble. Hey, how about you do one more match? Okay. And she said the other day that was all they asked of her. So as of this moment, that's it for Lita. But that doesn't mean they can't go back to her and try to get her back for more. I thought this started out clunky early on. It picked up at the end. It turned into a pretty good match by the time that it was over. Lita teased a twist of fate early on, and Becky cut her off. Lynch hit a leg drop and applied a sleeper hold, and she hit an exploder, went for a second one. Lita dropped her with a DDT. Becky went to the top rope. Lita took her down with a head scissors, hit the twist of fate for a near fall. Lita went for the moonsault, and Becky cut her off and hit the disarm her, or didn't hit it, but she applied the disarm her and then hit the manhandle slam. Lita, though, placed her foot on the bottom rope right at the last possible second, as close of a near fall as you could possibly get. Lynch went up for a Lita moonsault. She's going to use Lita's own move against her. I don't think I've ever seen... Have Becky Lynch done moonsaults before? I don't even remember seeing her do a moonsault. Well, I'll say this much. I've only seen her do one moonsault in my life, and she already does a better moonsault than Charlotte Flair. So Becky went for a moonsault. Lita moved out of the way. Lita hit the twist of fate. And then the moonsault. Lynch kicked out at the last possible second. That was another great near fall. There were a couple of great near falls here in this match. Lita went to grab Lynch. Lynch, though, hit a very weak-looking manhandle slam and pinned Lita out of nowhere, 1-2-3. So I hated the finish. I thought the match, it turned into a pretty good match. I hated the finish because she hits her finish, which is most of the time when Becky hits that manhandle slam, she's got to find another move. It looks very weak, you know, because she's not the biggest person in the world. She's not the biggest person in the division. So if she's in the ring with somebody who's a little bit smaller than her, you know, she might be able to swing it and it looks really good. But a lot of times when she's in there, it just ends up not looking good. She doesn't get the kind of height. Actually, she went the one that she went for earlier in the match, she got some pretty good height on that one. It's too bad that wasn't the one that she hit at the finish. So it did not look good. She no-sold the moonsault from Lita. Just got right back up, hit her finish, and that was it. So I hated that aspect of it. So not a fan of that finish. I thought it sucked. But they were never taking the title off Becky. This is another one of those matches. I'm hearing about twists and turns, and up to this point, this show was as predictable can be. And I'm not even saying that's necessarily a bad thing. But I'm just sitting here going, boy, you know, it's getting kind of late, waiting for these so-called twists and turns that were rumored online all week. I don't know about you guys. I didn't see any of them. So now the stage is set. Becky and Bianca for the championship at WrestleMania. And if that does end up being Lita's last match, I mean, the finish aside, if that's it for Lita, then you know what? I think she went out on a high note, just like Trish did in her match against Charlotte at SummerSlam a few years ago. That was also a very good match. I thought Lita looked good. And I could see them wanting her back for more. The way that she looked here in this match, I don't think Lita's done just yet. So we were supposed to get a SmackDown Tag Team title match with the Usos defending against the Viking Raiders. That was the only other match outside of the second chamber that was left on the card. The Viking Raiders come down to the ring. They make their entrance, right? Raid, 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 raid. They should have been like the fucking Orkin Man. They should have been exterminators. Raid, 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 raid. So they come down to the ring. And out of nowhere come Jimmy and Jey Uso. They get blindsided by the SmackDown Tag Team Champions. And they're putting a very pedestrian, basic-looking beatdown on them. Nothing out of the ordinary. They get Eric down on the ground. And both Usos suplex Ivar, who's bigger than Eric, they suplex Ivar on top of Eric. And again, a very basic-looking bump. So I thought, okay, they're getting the jump on the challengers here. And the Viking Raiders are going to get their bearings about them, and then the referee is going to call for the bell, and we're going to have our SmackDown Tag Team title match. Instead, we were told that, well, we guess the Viking Raiders are unable to compete, and so we're not going to have a SmackDown Tag Team title match on this show. What? Unable to compete? They didn't do anything to them. At least hit them with chairs or something. Go grab Drew McIntyre's sword. Do something. Hit him with a billy club or a crowbar. They suplexed Eric or Ivar onto Eric and they were unable to compete. This was the stupidest excuse that I have ever heard in my life. If they were crunched for time and were running low on time, don't even send them out there. And if you're going to send them out there, do something better than what they did here. This was fucking garbage. And this made the Viking... when this was over, I just thought to myself, boy, these Viking Raiders sure do look like they're in contention for these tag team titles. They sure do look like two guys who are ready to beat the Usos to become the new tag team champions. This was another theme on the show tonight. A lot of the talents on the show were booked to be made to look like fucking goofs. Very weak. A lot of people on this show, especially in these last two segments here, were made to look extraordinarily weak. The booking did not do them any favors. Now, I can't tell you that this was a match I really gave a shit about. This was just a random match to me that was thrown on the card. I could give two shits about the Usos and the Viking Raiders because we're not getting a title change anyway. And the Viking Raiders, while they are very good, have not been built up enough recently to get me to care about seeing them against the Usos. So of all the matches on this card that could have been canceled, this would have been the second one on my list of the ones that I really didn't care about, and it's fine with me that the match itself didn't happen. The other one would have been McIntyre and Madcap Moss. So I'm not heartbroken that we didn't get the match. I was just blown away by how they got to it and what the excuse was to get these guys out of the match. They didn't do anything to them. Unable to continue. Think of all the dives and the big moves and the big high spots and all the abuse that people take in matches week after week after week. But they suplexed this guy, unable to continue. Amazing. They flew those four guys all the way to Saudi Arabia for that. I hope they got paid all the same. That's all I can say. I hope they got paid exactly what they were going to be paid, regardless of whether or not there was a match. If they got paid all the same, then hey, more power to them. But I could, especially after this, I couldn't possibly care any less about seeing the Viking Raiders challenging for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. So now it was time for the main event. It was time for the Men's Elimination Chamber for the WWE Championship. We had Brock Lesnar in what we were told was the first chamber match of his career. And it went about exactly the way you thought it would. Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley, AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, Matt Riddle, and Austin Theory. Lesnar was out last. So yet again, the champion does not enter last. But of course, it's Brock, so he's going to enter last. Brock enters last, and he made the rounds. He was looking into each pod. He went up to Bobby Lashley's pod, and he stared at him. He went over to Riddle. He kind of ignored Riddle. He went over to AJ Styles and stared at him. And then he finally took his spot in his own pod, truly looking like a caged animal. He looked like a caged beast inside that pod. Actually, I thought it was a great visual. So he had Rollins and Theory. They were the two to start things out. And Rollins buckle-bombed Austin Theory through Lashley's pod. And that took out both men. So Theory was down. He was holding the back of his head. Lashley, we were told, it looked like he may have hit his... this is what the announcers said. It looked like he may have hit his head on one of the beams inside the pod. So he was down. Riddle was the first man out from the other pod. So the countdown clock came on, and he came out into the match. Jason Jordan and Adam Pearce got into the chamber to check on Lashley. Other officials came out to check on Lashley. And then we see in the background here, while the action is still going on, we see that they're escorting Bobby Lashley out of the chamber to the back. So at this point, it looked like we were going to be guaranteed to have a new WWE champion when this match was over. So Lashley is out. So these guys are going at it. AJ Styles was out of his pod next. Riddle, at one point, paid homage to his tag team partner, Randy Orton, hit a double draping DDT, one to Styles, one to Theory. and he was setting up for the RKO when he looked up and he noticed that the countdown clock was ticking down to the next entrant in the match. And all of a sudden, he got a very concerned expression on his face, and he turned around because he thought Brock Lesnar is about to come in. I thought, oh boy, here we go. We're going to get, this is the closest thing that we're ever going to get to a singles match between Matt Riddle and Brock Lesnar. So the countdown clock hits zero, and it's going back and forth, that light, you know, between Lashley's pod and Brock's pod, back and forth. And it ends up highlighting Bobby Lashley's pod. Of course, Bobby Lashley is not in his pod. Now Brock Lesnar is going to have to wait another 2 or 3 minutes. Well, Brock Lesnar is sick and tired of waiting. Brock Lesnar does not want to wait around anymore. Brock Lesnar would not have done well at the Apple store the other day, as I had to wait around trying to get my issue fixed for 8 hours. I think Brock Lesnar would have torn that fucking place to shreds. So Brock is a very impatient person, and he basically smashed his way out of the pod. He's like, fuck this, I'm coming in. So here comes Brock Lesnar. And it was right around this point, that the announcers announced, because that's what they do, that Bobby Lashley was officially in concussion protocol, which frankly is where Madcap Moss should be. Bobby Lashley is in concussion protocol, which means he would not be allowed, even if he wanted to, he would not be allowed back into the chamber, which means that we are guaranteed to have a new WWE champion. So you didn't even have to wait. You didn't even have to wait for the finish of this match to know exactly how this thing was going to end. Brock Lesnar comes in. First thing he does, he picks up Seth Rollins, the man who not even a month ago was challenging. He was going toe-to-toe with Roman Reigns, the man who Brock Lesnar is challenging in the main event of WrestleMania. Went toe-to-toe with him at the Royal Rumble. They had that great Universal title match. Seth Rollins gets scooped up onto Brock Lesnar's shoulders. He gets F5'd. 1, 2, 3. Thanks for coming. Seth Rollins, gone. Brock Lesnar gets back up. He picks up Matt Riddle, F5. 1, 2, 3. Gone. See you later. Brock Lesnar gets back up. He picks up AJ Styles, F5. 1, 2, 3. Gone. I don't throw the word buried out very often. But as I'm watching this, and look, AJ Styles is who he is. You know, AJ Styles is, he'll be fine. But I'm watching Brock literally just, it's like dominoes being knocked down, just burying everybody in his path. And all I could do is sit here and just shake my head. I never once doubted that Brock Lesnar was winning the title back. What I did not expect is for him to win the title back in the way that he did. Now, I like myself a good Brock Lesnar murder as much as the next person. When he goes in there and smashes guys, they didn't do anybody in this match any favors. And you may look at it and go, well, they protected Bobby Lashley. They did, but what happened here is they cheated the fans out of an advertised match. This was the main event of the show. This was the main event. This is the match that this entire show was built around. Was Brock Lesnar getting into the Elimination Chamber and Brock Lesnar getting his hands back on Bobby Lashley. Put all these guys, all these top guys and Austin Theory, who could be a top guy one day. You put him in the chamber, right? What a hell. And there was a lot of time left in the show. So I thought, okay, this is going to go a while. We might have a great Elimination Chamber match here. Boy, was I wrong. They cheated the fans out of what could have been a hell of a main event. And in doing so, they made every single person in this match look like a fucking geek. Not one of these guys, not one, look like they should even be considered for the main event of a Monday Night Raw or a SmackDown, let alone WrestleMania. Mowing them down like nothing, one right after the other, not even putting up a fight. Not a near fall. No, you got a match with five. Well, Bobby Lashley got carried away, but you have five guys in there. Nobody's even trying to break up any pins, which I guess in a chamber match, why would you? It's every man for himself. They didn't give these guys anything. So I go back to the point that I made earlier. To Brock's point on Pat McAfee's show. Go out and get yourself over. Rollins has been around for a while. Rollins is over. Rollins will be fine. AJ Styles, he's been around forever. Everybody loves AJ in the ring. He'll be fine. Matt Riddle, well, we'll see if he ever breaks through to that next level. Austin Theory could be a WrestleMania headliner one day. And actually, he was the last man standing with Brock Lesnar, because while Rollins was gone and AJ was gone and Riddle was gone, we were down to Austin Theory. Which makes me wonder, if Austin Theory got the spot that was originally earmarked, supposedly, for Shane McMahon, how different might this match have looked? Would it have been Shane McMahon taking that bump from the top of the pod? Can you imagine Shane McMahon, after a few minutes of doing anything in the chamber, having to run away from... First of all, he wouldn't be running away from Brock. It's Shane McMahon. He'd be taking the fight to Brock. In fact, Brock would have to sell for him. Brock would have taken some near falls if Shane McMahon was in this match. I wonder how different this match would have looked if Shane was in there instead of Austin Theory. We'll never know. So it's down to Lesnar and Theory, and Theory sees this. Lesnar's pulling off his fighting gloves, and he starts stalking this kid. And Theory is running for his life. This kid is seeing his life flash before his eyes. He starts running. Lesnar's chasing after him. He gets caught in one of the pods. Brock grabs him, gives him a suplex out on the outer padding. And when he got up to his knees, Lesnar is kind of looking down at him. Theory does the only thing that he could possibly do in that situation, and he delivers a desperation low blow, and he lifts Brock Lesnar about 2.5 inches up off the ground. Smart strategy. Brock still hasn't learned to wear a cup in these matches. You would think he'd know by now after what The Undertaker did to him years ago. So he hits a low blow, and Theory got a little bit of offense. Of all the people in the match, they gave Theory a couple of hope spots, a couple of moves here. Hit a drop kick. Hit a DDT, got a two count. Theory realizes, now I got to get out of here. He starts climbing the cage. He's scaling the chains, and he actually gets his body through some of the chains up on top. I don't know how he managed to do that. Obviously, they must have had a bigger hole cut out. But he manages to fit like 3/4 of his body out of the holes, and he's trying to get out. Brock climbs up after him. Brock's standing up on the roof of what was his pod. And he pulls Theory back inside, and he starts ramming Theory face first into the plexiglass. Yes, it was funny. It was funny. Ultimate Elite, there was a moment in there where you could hear Theory just say, like, oh my God, because he knew he was about to be slaughtered. And he was locked in there, and there was nothing he could do. So he's ramming Theory face first into the plexiglass, and Brock's looking down, and you could see where this is going. And if I'm Austin Theory, I'm like, I'm about to shit my pants, because I have no idea how hard or how far Brock is going to throw me. I want to make sure I don't break my leg on the way down. He gets Austin Theory up on his shoulders while standing on top of the roof of the pod, and he delivers an F5. And he F5s this man off the roof of the pod down onto the padding below. Now, the way Theory fell, he basically landed on his feet, basically. He didn't land flat. It would have been a better visual had he landed flat, but he probably would have killed himself. But from that height, it was a great visual. And it got everybody on their feet in the stadium. They wanted to see Brock Lesnar kill this man. So that was the big highlight of the entire match, was Brock Lesnar F5-ing Austin Theory to his doom from the roof of one of the pods. He murdered that man. He got Theory back in the ring, and he pinned him to win back the WWE Championship. So much for Bobby Lashley's second run as the champion. And as I said earlier, Brock Lesnar adds yet another African-American WWE champion to his list of victims. All of them have lost their championship to Brock Lesnar. I don't want to say that there's a pattern developing here, but make of that what you will. But as predicted, it is going to be champion against champion at WrestleMania. I think it should absolutely be a title unification. I don't think it's going to. I don't think they have the balls to do it. But I think it should be. That way you have one champion, and they'll treat that one championship the way that it should be treated, instead of having one that gets treated like a king and the other one that gets treated like a court jester. But right now, there's no talk of any kind of unification or anything like that. Interestingly enough, they're calling it champion against champion. Now, we know that the Universal title will be on the line because Brock won the Royal Rumble, which in a lot of ways seems, I mean, what a fucking waste. But Brock won the Royal Rumble, so he's getting a Universal title match. So that title will be on the line. They have not said that the WWE Championship is going to be on the line. I don't see how you can do this match in the main event of WrestleMania and not have both belts on the line. So I think it's only a matter of time before they announce that it is going to be title for title, winner take all. That's the way things are looking right now. Winner take all, not official yet. Brock, when the match was over, he left the ring. He was posing with fans in the front row and in the aisle as he was leaving, taking selfies. Again, it's a new softer side of Brock Lesnar. Softer side outside of the fact that he murdered Austin Theory. We'll forget about that. So he looked like he was having a ball. Why not? There's no reason for him not to be having a ball. He won the Royal Rumble. He won the Elimination Chamber. He's going to the main event of WrestleMania. He's the WWE champion again, and he may end up adding the Universal title to the other shoulder. If you're Brock Lesnar, life's great. You got nothing to worry about. Life could not possibly be any better than it is. So I'd be all smiles too if I were Brock Lesnar. So now the question is, what do they do as far as Bobby Lashley? Because Bobby Lashley, they protected him in that he was never pinned. Brock Lesnar won the title, but he did not beat Bobby Lashley straight up for it. Bobby Lashley now has an excuse. He can come on television on Monday night and say, hey, I never got beat. I got hurt, but I never got beat. I want my rematch. So I think it's inevitable that Bobby Lashley is going to get a rematch along the way for the title. The question is, when do they do it? We have not seen Brock Lesnar wrestle very often on television since he came back in 2012. In fact, I think it was just the one time. Right? Wasn't it the match with Kofi Kingston on SmackDown? And that wasn't even a match. It went 8 seconds. It was an angle. It was an angle to get, you know, the, God, who was it? Cain Velasquez. I was going to say Junior Dos Santos, but he was on Dynamite. That was the angle to get Cain Velasquez out for the stare down with Brock Lesnar so they could do that crappy match in Saudi Arabia. So Brock Lesnar, generally speaking, does not wrestle on TV. They don't give Brock Lesnar matches away on television. You could build a big Monday Night Raw main event next month and have Brock Lesnar put the WWE Championship on the line against Bobby Lashley. He's going to beat him. I don't think there's any question about that. You know, Bobby's not winning. The idea that I propose, and I put this on Twitter before I went live here, and I don't know if they would do this or not. I would like to see Bobby Lashley, though. I just feel like he deserves a big match at WrestleMania. Probably would be on night one. They could, if they wanted to, have Brock Lesnar agree to defend the WWE title against Bobby Lashley on night one. And the winner of that match, whoever walks out with the WWE Championship, would go on to wrestle Roman Reigns on night two. And actually, you wouldn't even do it like that because Brock's already got the match with Roman, so it wouldn't even be that way. Brock defends against Bobby on night one. He's going to night two regardless, but is he going to go with the title? That's kind of the question. You don't know. So they could do that. And I'm not even saying Brock and Bobby would headline night one. I think that's going to Ronda Rousey and Charlotte. I think they want the women headlining night one and the men headlining night two. So they would probably open the show with it. They'd probably open up WrestleMania night one with Brock Lesnar against Bobby Lashley. So that's the only question that's left. Does it happen at Mania? Probably not, although I think maybe it should. If not at Mania, then you got yourself a big television main event because Brock Lesnar wrestling on TV is a rare thing. Not something that we get to see every week. So we'll see how things shake out as far as that goes. And that was the entire show. That main event, the way that that main event was booked, the outcome was never in doubt, but they absolutely decimated. They decimated the main event scene on Monday Night Raw. It's going to be hard for people to take any of these guys seriously for quite some time after the way they were treated here in this match. And it's just a shining example of what not to do with your roster. Brock Lesnar can still be dominant. Brock Lesnar can still end up F5-ing this guy and F5-ing that guy. Make it competitive. Give the fans, you know, a match, the match that was advertised that you promised. You already knocked Lashley out of the equation. At least have an actual match with everybody else that's involved. We didn't get much of one. So it was a fun spot to see Austin Theory get thrown to his death. But outside of that, the main event was a fucking joke the way it was booked. And this show was as by the book, by the numbers, as you could possibly have asked for. This was as predictable a show as WWE has done in a very long time. I'm still waiting for all those twists and turns that I was told about. I want to know what happened to them. I don't know. Doesn't look like people were very enamored with this show. This is the Twitter poll at Solomonster. If you want to go vote, not even 20% thumbs up. Not even 20%. 18.8% thumbs up, about 32% thumbs in the middle. And the vast majority of you have given the show the old Batista thumbs down. Yes, Marcus in the chat says, the twist was that there were no twists. Well, that is the best plot twist of all, I guess, isn't it? But if you want to vote, this poll's going to be up for another couple of days. So let me know what you thought. At Solomonster on Twitter, you can get in on that and let me know what you think. Now, I'm going to get into your super chats here in a second, but before we do, just a quick little respite here. I am very excited. I'm very excited to tell you that today's Elimination Chamber review is, in fact, brought to you by Magic Spoon. There you see the logo there. You see the boxes on your screen. Who was it in the chat the other night? On one of the streams the other night, trying to remember who it was. Was it Hulk? I think it was Hulkling. It was Hulkling 93, who sent in a super chat and said that he was enjoying some Magic Spoon. I've been enjoying some Magic Spoon now for several weeks because I wasn't that familiar with them previously. And then I had some people telling me about it, and I decided to finally try it out. Let me just tell you guys something. And some of you already know this. If you watch the streams, you guys would know. I am a big fan of cereal. I used to eat cereal all the time when I was a kid. I mean, who didn't, right? What kid didn't sit and eat cereal when they were younger, watching cartoons or whatever it was that you would have been watching on television? So I've always loved cereal, and even now, you guys make fun of me sometimes. I am working a lot sometimes. I don't have time to make something, and there's nights where I'll just have cereal for dinner. And I'm okay with that. You know, I'm okay with that. The problem is, most cereal is full of sugar and has a lot of artificial crap in it. And if you look at Magic Spoon, you will not find any of that stuff. You will not find any of that stuff in Magic Spoon. With them, that's not a problem. You don't have to worry about that. You can enjoy a cereal now that is delicious, and it's very healthy for you as well, which is something I couldn't say about the stuff I was eating when I was a kid. It was good. I wouldn't say that it was healthy. But now, as an adult, you can have something that's delicious and healthy. And what you saw there, this right here, this one here is their fruity flavor. They actually have a whole bunch of different flavors and different varieties. And this one, I got to tell you, this one takes me back. This takes me back to when I was a kid. It really does. But get a load of this. Get a load of this. Magic Spoon cereals have 0 grams of sugar. 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs per serving. That's it. That's it. Only 140 calories per serving. So all of you people out there who are counting calories in your fitness apps, and you know who you are, because I do the same thing. I have one of those same apps. All of you guys doing that, I know you pay attention to that kind of stuff. Especially as you get older. I feel like you pay more attention to that kind of thing. But these cereals are also keto-friendly. If you're on a keto diet, if you're very sensitive when it comes to that kind of stuff, they're keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. Now, I personally tend to use soy milk. You know, when I have my cereal, that's just my personal preference. The cool thing, though, I will say about Magic Spoon, cool thing, I got a whole bowl right here. You didn't think I was going to sit here watching a 3-hour Saudi Arabia pay-per-view and not have something here to snack on. I know you weren't thinking that. I got my Magic Spoon right here. But The cool thing about Magic Spoon is I've tried a bunch of different flavors now. You can have this even without the milk. And I know some of you are going to go, why would you have, you know, dry cereal? But I'm telling you, I've had this with and without. And you can have this without. And again, the whole time I'm sitting here, I'm taking my notes and I'm watching this pay-per-view and I'm eating this stuff. I got it right here. I got it right here. Mm. Telling you, man. The whole time, I'm like stuffing my face with this stuff. I love it. It's the fruity one, yeah. It's the fruity one right here. Ah, so good. But anyway, that's why this is happening. I kept hearing about Magic Spoon, and I said, I gotta find out more about this. And then once I had the chance to actually try it out, I said, look, I want to promote this to my audience. I want to tell other people about this because I know a lot of other people are going to have an interest in this. So once I realized it was the real deal, we got to talking, and I said, look, let's make this happen. Let's make this happen. And here we are. And I'm telling you, the fact that it tastes this good and it's this healthy for you, that right there is the difference maker. Look, you're going to see that link right there. There it is, guys. Boom, boom, right there on your screen. Magic Spoon. Magic Spoon. I got to take some more here. MagicSpoon.com/Solomonster. I want you guys right now, you can go to the, or you can do it right after the stream is over here. I want you to go to the link. There's a link in the description down below as well. But you just pop that on, MagicSpoon.com/Solomonster, and use the code Solomonster at checkout. You can get $5 off your order. When you go to that link and use the code Solomonster at checkout, you're going to get $5 off your order. And if you try the variety pack, they'll send you a whole case. They'll send you a case with a whole bunch of boxes. You'll get this one. You'll get the fruity one here. You'll get frosted, cocoa, peanut butter. You know, again, there's a lot of different varieties and styles. If you don't like one, you'll like the other. But I've been a big fan of them so far. And the frosted one, I would say, is probably my second favorite behind this one. I had to go with this one. But behind this one, the frosted one, I think, is pretty good. And Magic Spoon is so confident. They are so confident in their product. It's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they will refund your money. No questions asked. Simple as that. So what are you waiting for? Click that link, magicspoon.com/Solomonster. Use the code Solomonster for $5 off. Or you can visit the link, browse around, find what you like the most. But just make sure you pop that code and get the $5 off. And tweet me when you get it. And let me know what you guys think. Again, magicspoon.com/Solomonster. I think you guys are really going to enjoy that. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking about it. I wouldn't be wasting my time or yours with it if I didn't think you were actually going to like it. Mm. We got a lot of super chats. All right. I shouldn't be eating on camera. But 3 hours. I missed lunch. So I'm starving here. I'm getting hangry. Anyway, thank you guys for the super chats here. I'm going to read each and every single message that you guys have sent me. Yeah, Crazy in the chat says he never even heard of Magic Spoon. Up until maybe, a month and a half ago, I had never heard of them either. And I had other people, you know, tell me about them. So, hey, Sky Sports, thank you for the sub. Thank you for the subscribe. I appreciate that very much. Oh, but I'm serious. When you guys, if you do that, use that code when you get it. Tweet me. Let me know what you think. Let me know which flavor is your favorite. All right, we're going to go back all the way to Uffman. Because Uffman was the first one to drop some love here tonight. Oh, we got Armed Anderson on camera. Hands up. Rock Bottom the... Rock bottom like maneuver, he said. Rock bottom like maneuver. Was that a wink, wink, nudge, nudge? No, I don't think that was a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We've heard Michael Cole say stupid shit like this before. So, I remember WrestleMania last year with The Fiend emerging from a box-like structure. No, it's a fucking box. You can call it what it is. It's a box. I wouldn't look too much into that. Although I do think, I do think we might actually get a Rock appearance at WrestleMania this year, but I don't think that's what this was. Mr. Notorious Dez with the $5 super chat. I know this might be a reach, but I see Naomi and Charlotte, the modern version of Steamboat and Ric Flair, when they wrestle in the 80s. I don't know about that. Look, they had a very good match on SmackDown last week. I would not be making comparisons to Steamboat and Flair. Because I don't remember a single other match that Charlotte and Naomi ever had. I'm sure they've wrestled before. Not one of those matches stands out to me. Flair and Steamboat, I remember those three matches today as much as I did the first time I watched. So that is a ridiculous... I love you, Dez, but that is a ridiculous comparison. That is one of the more ridiculous comparisons that I have heard. Naif Al-Safar, thank you for the $4.99. I can't believe that. Dez, seriously. Come on. Naif, thank you for the $4.99. And I did see, it went by very quickly, but I saw your message a little earlier in the chat. Samoan Fan 101 with the $5 super chat. The announcer said that Shawn Michaels returned in 2002 at Survivor Series to win the WWE Championship. Do these guys even do their own research? Well, yeah, that's what I joked about at the beginning of the stream. I said, I learned something new. I learned something new today from Michael Cole that I didn't know coming into this event. I just tune out. I just tune out a lot of that stuff. It's ridiculous. Joseph Brooks, $9.99. Thank you, Joseph. Do you think having the winner of the Elimination Chamber earn a WrestleMania world title match kills the mystique of the chamber? Just like having a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view killed the Hell in a Cell mystique even before the 2019 Hell in a Cell. No, I'm okay with the chamber being... In fact, I think that they could have done that this time. You know, we already have the Universal title accounted for at WrestleMania. They could have had the chamber to decide who would be challenging for the WWE title. Instead, they chose to put the title on the line. I don't have an issue with them using, you know, like the chamber could be to the other title as the Royal Rumble is to whatever the other championship is. I don't have an issue with that. I don't think the title has to be on the line in the chamber. That's not what bothers me. That part of it I'm okay with. Joseph says, I know WWE won't do this, and I know it's not going to help, but if they actually use their brains... that's a funny one right there. That one is worthy of... that one is worthy of some scorn right there. But he says, is there a way that they could make Bobby Lashley just as special as Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns? Yes. They could, if they wanted to. If they wanted to, they can make almost anybody special. If you get the machine behind you, then that's half the battle right there. Question is, do they want to? No. No, they don't. Hangman Charlie. The F5 spot was sick. It's the sickest part of the whole match. Mr. AJ all day. Wow. I missed that one earlier when it came in. Mr. AJ all day dropped a $100 super chat. Thank you, AJ. Wow, how did I miss that one? Oh, I know, because I was doing a live review. And I'm a one-man show. That's why I missed it. All I can do, he says, is laugh. Brock is a great negotiator. I'm just glad they're going full on with the Bianca redemption story. Well, you hope they are. You give them a chance to fuck it up and they will. No, but I think you're right. Rodimus Prime, $30 super chat. What is going on, Rodimus? One of our loyal listeners. Currently on my lunch break, watching the stream, did not watch Elimination Chamber, not surprised about the outcomes today. Well, how could you be? I mean, they were as predictable could possibly be. I mean, there was nothing shocking on this show. I don't know, you know, what would you be surprised about? You know? I'm not really sure what you would be surprised about on this show. Let's see here. We have got Tony Boylan with the 678. Really enjoying the stream tonight. All the best. Thank you, Tony. I appreciate that very much. Thank you, sir. We've got Connor Kenway. Oh, look at this. Professor John Gotti coming in hot with the Beth Phoenix growl. I love it. I love it. The professor is in the house on a Saturday afternoon. I thought class was in session. Apparently not. Apparently he's not teaching today. So I will be... Manga Meg says that Professor John Gotti gets his money from money laundering. He's not sure where he's getting all of his money from. But thank you, Professor. I appreciate that. I'm going to read your super chat here just as soon as I get to it. Connor Kenway, Brock has successfully buried Hell in a Cell and now the Chamber. 8-9 Tech. Who does WWE rely on once Brock retires or leave? Great question. Great question. Because these guys aren't going to be around forever and John Cena is doing a lot of movies. You're not going to be able to bring in John Cena all the time. They're going to be fucked. Unless they start getting serious about making... And when I say making stars, I don't mean, okay, there's a guy that they start booking in main events and, you know, they're giving him a win streak. You've got to have a sustained push for someone the fans actually like, or maybe they really hate that person, but they, you know, they get a reaction in some way. Whoever it is, a sustained push. You really get behind somebody. None of this start and stop bullshit where you push him for 2 months and then you get bored and you move on to the next guy. And they just haven't demonstrated the ability or the desire to do that. So when Brock Lesnar is done and says, you know what, I'm finished. I think I'm going to go, you know, back on my ranch and leave this wrestling thing behind. They're going to be in a lot of trouble. It's as simple as that. They're going to be in a lot of trouble and they have nobody to blame but themselves for it. Everybody in the chat believes that the professor is funded by the Saudi regime. That's how he gets all of his dollars. Does that mean I'm getting some of that sweet Saudi money? Is that what's going on here? Am I cashing in on that sweet Saudi money? Michael Cuomo, thank you, Voodoo Doll. Right here, baby. Right here. This is my boy. This right here is what saved us. This saved us from another Goldberg Universal title run tonight. We got Groovy Goo. Look at this. You know where I got this from? New Orleans. New Orleans. I went to a witch doctor in New Orleans. Off the beaten path on Bourbon Street. And he gifted me this doll. Groovy Goose, the Goldberg in the Bank cash-in failed. Indeed. Indeed it did. The Goldberg in the Bank was not successful tonight. Simi Valley with the $20 super chat. Thank you, Simi. If it wasn't for my niece and nephew, I wouldn't even watch WWE anymore. How are the men supposed to get over in this company? How are the men supposed to get over? How are the women supposed to get over? How is anybody supposed to get over? Boy, I hope Cody Rhodes was watching this show tonight. I found an old soundbite of Cody from a few years ago that I can't wait to play at the beginning of the podcast tomorrow. I can't wait to play. Let's just say that he apparently, if he does end up in WWE, then he has had quite the change of heart from how he felt a few years ago. Kevin Miller, 678 Super Chat. Thank you, sir. Hey, what's up, Solomonster? It's good to catch you live from Blackpool, England. What is going on all the way in Blackpool? Isn't Blackpool where William Regal is from? Well, shout out to Blackpool. I got some fans in Blackpool. I got a few listeners in Blackpool, actually. Dr. NXT Scorpio, voodoo solo, cursing people should be a super chat. Hey, if I could legally play it on the streams, I'd be opening up with Voodoo Child. But I don't think YouTube would like that very much. We got Sean Waters with the $10 super chat. Stuck at work. Definitely will listen after, but saw you post Lesnar versus Lashley night one. I think they should also add Roman against Seth as well. Woohoo! Well, he didn't see the show, so I can't blame him for this. But But if you saw the main event tonight, Seth Rollins ain't going anywhere near the WrestleMania main event. If you think Seth Rollins or any of those goofballs are going to be anywhere near the WrestleMania main event this year, you clearly did not see that main event tonight. That's done. That's dead. I have no desire to see it now. I have no desire left whatsoever to see it. Voodoo Solo versus Lily the Doll. I think I could take Lily. But Sean says you could do Roman against Seth as well, since it was a DQ finish at the Rumble. Winners go tonight, too. It's a nice idea in theory, but no, it's not going to happen. Hitman WA, one of our new channel members. What's going on, Hitman? I do the Bret Hart pose. $25 super chat. Spent a lot of money on WrestleMania so my young sons could experience it live. Trying to get invested into this, but it's hard with this product. Right now, all we got is hoping we get to see Naomi's entrance live. The last two events are crap. Well, look, I mean, you're taking your sons to WrestleMania. It's always, you know, fun to do that when you got, you know, the family that you can bring to the event. If you've never been to a WrestleMania before, if it's your first time, you'll have a good time. It's always fun to be there the first time. But as far as the actual booking is concerned, yeah, I mean, they're not giving you a whole lot right now to get excited about. Timothy Tillis, $5 super chat. Brock made everybody look like a geek and Lashley look like a joke. Awful. Just awful. We've got, Patizar. I know I'm pronouncing this wrong. Patizarab. I hope I'm saying that right. Hello, Solomonster. He says, greetings from Austria. Well, greetings. I don't think we've gotten an Austrian super chat before. Greetings. And we got Umar Khan with the $1 super chat. What's going on, Umar? Hold on a second here. I put Sid the Kid in timeout there. No spamming. Next time I get you blocked next time. Clag Daddy with the $7 super chat says, good morning, Solomonster. Haven't watched the chamber as it's 7 a.m. here, and now I won't waste my time. Thank you. Well, that's why I'm here. I'm here to get you all caught up on everything that's going on. So then you can make a decision about whether or not you want to watch this crap. And you didn't miss much. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury. Can I borrow the voodoo doll? I got some unfinished business with my ex-wife's divorce attorney. Well, I don't know where you are, Flamethrower, but I can do the job for you. I'll say a little something for you. I got a white pen. I'm going to stick it right in his crotch. Tony Boylan, again, thank you for the super chat. He actually sent a couple of more. Said, $5 sound off superplex chat. That's awesome. Thank you, Tony. Cameron Johnson, how about LA Knight teaming with The Miz? I did think about that until I saw the PW Insider report. I was kind of hoping it wasn't Cody. I said maybe they're going to call up LA Knight before WrestleMania instead of after WrestleMania. I think that would be cool. It doesn't look like that's going to be the case, though. Cameron Spencer. We go from Cameron Johnson to Cameron Spencer. $9.99. I didn't get a notification, so I'm late. Yeah, YouTube does that sometimes. I think we had about 2,000 people or almost 2,000 people earlier. And if you account for all the people that probably didn't get the alerts, we probably would have had at least another 500, but that's YouTube for you. Anyway, he says, I don't watch, but one thing I keep hearing is the current product is boring. Should WWE go full-on comedy with the product, including championships? A parody. I thought it was already a parody. Isn't WWE already a parody of what it used to be? Not even a parody can make this entertaining. It's still the same people writing the show. You're expecting these people to write comedy. You're missing the whole point. You're missing the entire point. I wouldn't trust these people to write a book report for me. Magician Sapphire, $10 super chat. Oh, I see that we are over 600 likes. Yeah, let's see if we could hit 700. Magician says, Moss gets slammed on his head. Match continues. Lashley gets smacked in the face with plexiglass, unable to wrestle. Oh, I'll do you one better. Ivar gets suplexed on Eric on the floor. Match is canceled. Boy, you had a layup there. You didn't take it. He says, here's hoping we get unified titles and ending the brand split. Well, if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle. But you know how that goes. Gary, Cause Chuck, $7 super chat. I don't have PayPal, but can I get a shout and a nickname here? Boy, you're putting me on the spot. Oh, boy. How about good guy? Until I think of something better. I like good guy Gary. Because Gary, you're a good guy. So I'm going to call you good guy Gary. How's that sound for now? Thank you for the support. Samoan fan 101, cereal and women are alike. You don't want them dry. Oh, Jesus. Samoan fan. Samoan fan, really? Really? Can't take you anywhere. Supratique Boxy. Year and a half ago, when Sonya was away, you suggested to build her into one of the contenders for the Raw Women's Division, since the division is thin. Do you still agree with that, or would you prefer her in her current authority role? No, I think I'm about done with her in the authority role. It's been going on long enough. I think they should get her back into the division. I think she could be a solid heel. Hey, Junker just became a sound-off superstar. What's going on, Junker? Let's see. We got Magnificent Matt. Magnificent Matt, $5 super chat. Cookies and cream is my favorite flavor of Magic Spoon. I'm telling you, man, I fell in love the first time I had this fruity one. Because, you know, you look at this. This looks like cereal you had when you were a kid. I don't have to name any names. I mean, you know what it is. I'm telling you, man, Magic Spoon is the shit. It got me through this show tonight. Anyway, buy, rent, or sell. Bret Hart's 92 run, Bret Hart's 94 run, or his 97 run. Ooh. You're putting me on the spot. Man, you know what? 92, Bret was at his best, I think, in the ring. 93, 94. So I'm tempted to buy on 94, but 97, the Hart Foundation run, the promos, the U.S. against Canada, it's hard to vote against that. I would go 94, I would rent on 97, I would sell on 92. That's probably the order I would go with. Zachary Sigmund, $5 super chat. Do you think there's a chance that Bobby beats Reigns for the WWE? That Bobby beats Reigns at WrestleMania Backlash. Oh, you were being serious. I thought he was joking. No, of course not. Absolutely not. They're never going to do that. Crazy Gacy, thank you for the $2. Hey, Junker, you're welcome. Thank you for becoming a channel member. See, now you got a spiffy little logo badge next to your name so I can pick out who the channel members are. Thank you, Junker. Prince David, $10 super chat. Could you get behind one world champion who works both brands, each brand with a secondary title? One tag team champion, one women's champion would work. Yes. In fact, that's exactly what I have proposed before. So yes, I could definitely get behind that. Professor John Gotti didn't even have a message. I thought I missed his message. He just sent $200 in via Super Chat. Dropping the bomb here on the stream. Showing some love. And I shall show some love for the good professor as well. I appreciate that. You know how much I appreciate your support. It means a lot when you pop in and I hear from you and I see, you know, you drop a bomb right on my head. So thank you very much. Joseph Brooks, bring back Winged Eagle if they unified the belts. Well, they're not going to do that. The reason they're not going to do that, just go watch the Super Bowl. When the Super Bowl was over and you saw the, what, who was the player that had it? They were standing on the podium when they were being presented with the Lombardi Trophy, and they had that giant WWE logo belt. They want that logo, man. They want that logo front and center. So they're not bringing back the Eagle. They're not bringing back the Globes. I mean, it's a classier looking belt, but it's all about branding with them. They want to get that logo out there as much as possible. Paul Heyman with the $11 super chat. In light of the Cody news this week, I think the last biggest news you covered on the podcast was either CM Punk quitting WWE, Hogan using the N-word, or Del Rio beating up a Ninja Turtle. I've covered a lot of stories since then. I've covered a lot. No, I've covered a lot since then. But there's no doubt this was a very big week of wrestling news, to say the least. So we're going to have a lot to cover on the podcast tomorrow. No doubt about it. Liquid Sharingan, WWE has stars. They've just been buried. Well, that is true. That is true. Hitman WA with the $10 super chat. WWE needs to spend less on the video packages and 30 announcers and more on talent to misuse. The only twist I saw came from Lita, followed by a moonsault. Edward Cardenas, thank you for the super chat. Devin the Doppler, do you think that the Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa feud feels less important than it should? A few months back, we all thought it could be the main event of Revolution. Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. It has me thinking that maybe they are going to extend this into Double or Nothing. I'm not so sure there's going to be a title change, or that there should be a Revolution. I think it needs to be built up even a little bit more. Dorenzo, $7 super chat. Morning, Solid Monster. I just woke up in Australia. Been seeing people say the chamber was a cluster. Glad I was asleep if it was as bad as I heard. It really wasn't worth your time. It really wasn't. You didn't miss much. Oxify, $6 super chat. Just wanted to show some love as I'm waiting for my wife to give birth to baby girl number two. Oh, congratulations. The same wife who ruined my Sound Off 316 shirt years ago. Well, I think you can forgive her for that. But congratulations. That's very cool. Maruthi Ram, what are your views on control your narrative? Do you think that concept can survive in the present competition? I don't. If they have any aspirations of it becoming something really big, I think that it's going to be a tall order. But look, I wish them well. Hopefully it works out. They're only first starting to run some shows. That's EC3 and Adam Scheer, the former Braun Strowman. I think Killer Cross is with them. So hopefully, whatever their goals are, hopefully it'll work out for them. But if you're expecting a new, you know, AEW or something, I wouldn't be holding my breath on that. Club Fortune, please no more sweet Saudi money. Rest in peace. The Elimination Chamber, it has gotten worthless. And Keith Noir, $5 super chat. Why does the official Peacock live stream still not have an effing live rewind option? This live stream even has a live rewind. That's right. It does. My stream does have a live rewind. I'm better than Peacock. Anyway, he says, keep up the good work. So thank you, Keith. I appreciate that. But anyway, yes, thank you for all of the super chat love. I do appreciate it. It's been a very busy week. And the prep for tomorrow's show is not over yet. Just an unbelievable amount of news. Obviously, we know what the top stories are going to be. We are going to talk about the fallout from tonight's or today's show tomorrow. We'll talk about that. Undertaker going into the Hall of Fame. The Cody situation, that'll be the top story. Stone Cold, you know, possibly coming back. I'm not sold on this. I don't necessarily buy this, but where there's smoke, there's fire, so we'll talk about that as well. Ric Flair made another stupid comment this week. I know, not very surprising. But in any event, Brock on Pat McAfee's show, lot went on this week. And by the way, if you are, we've had a bunch of new channel members tonight. We did a call-in show the other night, Thursday night. I went live, ended up going 2 hours plus with our channel members on all levels, and answered your phone calls and had a great time. And we do those from time to time. Channel members get the Better Call Saul Monster call-in show, so that's up in the archives if you missed it. Definitely go check that out. Let's take one more look at the poll, and then you guys want to take Be the Booker? You want to take on Be the Booker today? You want to wait until Wednesday, because we could do Be the Booker before we leave here. I'll leave it up to you. Let's check the poll one more time here at Solemn Monster. 18% thumbs up, almost 50% thumbs down. That is not good. This is going to go down as not one of the better Elimination Chamber shows that WWE has ever done. In fact, it might be one of the worst. It's not the worst, I don't think, but it will definitely not go down as one of the better ones, which is too bad. Because on paper, it looked like a pretty solid show, and then you look at some of the things that they do, and it just makes you shake your head. So, anyway, it seems like we're all on the same page. You guys want it. I am a man of the people, and so I will give the people what they want. It is time to be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
Yes, it is a Saturday afternoon edition of Be the Booker here on YouTube, the new and improved Be the Booker. If you're new to the channel, just a little fun thing that we do here where we try to randomly book some fantasy main events. And we're probably going to be putting a whole tournament bracket together in the month of March for all of my choices. We do one for the men and we do one for the ladies. And so we're going to start with the men and see what match we book here. This is our sweet Saudi edition of Be the Booker. Is it possible I might book a worse match than some of the stuff that they gave us on the show today? Let's see. We end up with the American Dream. The American Dream. Dusty Rhodes. A lot of talk about his son. The son of a plumber. The son of Dusty Rhodes in the news this week. There's Dusty with those polka dots. Well, Dusty Rhodes, hey, one of the greatest champions of all, one of the most charismatic champions in the history of the business. So, definitely a major name. I think we're off to a pretty good start. It's going to be Dusty Rhodes going one-on-one with the Godfather. Not a main event. Remember, we're booking a main event. Dusty Rhodes against the Godfather. Dusty Rhodes is definitely a main eventer, but Dusty Rhodes against the Godfather, that's not exactly main event material right there. Sorry to say. So now we switch over to the women. Maybe we'll have better luck here with the ladies. Be the Booker. A lot of new options I've added in. Again, it took me hours to put these together. The Fabulous Moolah. Boy, you know, we have a Fuck Bully Ray super chat. We ought to get a Fuck Moolah super chat. But I would say no thank you if someone said that. Well, let's finish this out anyway. This thing's already a lost cause, but we'll see anyway who her opponent is going to be. The Fabulous Moolah. One-on-one against Eve Torres. Yeah, let's do it again. I can't buy on that. Well, that didn't go too well. You win some, you lose some, right? What are you going to do? Anyway, always fun to take Be the Booker for a spin. You never know what you're going to land on. Austin in the chat says, Godfather against Moolah in a pimp-off. You know what? I think you may be onto something there. Hitman says you're a reboot broke Be the Booker. Yeah, I thought I was doing a good thing here by rebooting the whole thing. I don't know what I've done. Godfather against Moolah in a who has the stronger pimp hand on a pole match. Yeah, David, Eve's still a beautiful woman. I always thought she was a beautiful woman. Still is. Part of the Gracie family now is Eve. Are the Viking Raiders Hall of Fame worthy? Yes, the Viking Raiders are Hall of Shame worthy. Notice I said the Viking Raiders. I didn't say War Machine. I said the Viking Raiders. They are Hall of Shame worthy. No, that's, you know what? No Mansoor, Mansoor, I'm sorry. No Mansoor, John, that's a great point. We, I believe this is the first Saudi show with no Mansoor. How did I not even realize that? I'm shocked. No Mansoor. They've officially given up on Mansoor. What a shame. With everything I just said about the main event, I ask again, says Frost, if WWE clearly does not care about the main event, then why should we? I have nothing to add to that. I think you've just summed it up pretty well. I'm not the one you should be directing that question to. The future of WWE is down the toilet after Roman and Lesnar are gone. They're in a lot of trouble if those guys either go down to an injury or Roman gets the Hollywood itch, which eventually I'm sure he will. Brock fears Veer. Well, look, I want to give a shout out to Fawaz. I don't know if he's watching right now, but Fawaz is the one who flashed that sound off sign in the crowd. I'll put it back on screen. It was very visible numerous times on camera. Always great to see the podcast represented in Saudi Arabia, anywhere in the world, even in places that you might not even expect there to be a huge fan base. We have fans and listeners all over the world. Believe me when I tell you, I get messages all the time from people. And I think it's fantastic. I love it. I appreciate the support. Fawaz, wherever you are, thank you, sir, for yet another sound off sign. And whenever they come back to Saudi Arabia, hopefully you'll have great seats again and make it a hat trick. Ojali Burgos, what do you make of Omega throwing Cody under the bus? I found it classless and validates why I never was a big fan of his. He is just like Khan, are fake. I didn't really take it as him throwing Cody under the bus. I just thought he was being honest about how he felt in the interview that he did on the Observer website. I actually thought he was pretty respectful overall of Cody. I mean, the point that I think that you probably are alluding to is where he said that Cody just may have had a different vision than him and the Bucks. I think that's true. I think part of the reason we're seeing what we're seeing is that with Cody, it was always about the war. It was always about the competition. It was about us against them. The throne that he smashed, the golden shovel, the comments he would make. Ellis Island. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow. Remember the Ellis Island promo 3 years ago? So with Cody, it was always about WWE and clapping back at WWE or trying to be better than WWE. It was always so obvious to me that he and Brandy, they so badly wanted to be the Triple H and Stephanie of AEW. I never got the sense with the Bucks. You know, maybe on Being the Elite, they would poke fun and make little jokes at WWE's expense. But I never got the sense from Omega. I never got the sense from the Bucks, you know, that it was some kind of us against them. We got to go to war with them. So what did Omega say that was really uncalled for? I think he's telling the truth. I think what he says has a lot of merit. And I think it goes to the heart of why Cody was the first of the EVPs to leave and possibly go back to this place that he took pot shots at for all these years. I don't think he's wrong. Hey, Preston Ridiculous just became a Sound Off superstar. What a wonderful day for him to become a channel member here after this show, after this friggin' pay-per-view. Preston Ridiculous. Quite appropriate. But welcome to the channel. Again, I have a lot to say on Cody. I'll probably end up going 45 minutes on Cody alone tomorrow. And I'm going to get into everything, why I think we're seeing what we're seeing, why he's gone, why I don't think it's a work. And if he does end up in WWE, you know, why I think and how we've gotten to this point. Because it's shocking. It is a shocking story. And if he goes to WWE, it's a big feather in Vince McMahon's cap if he can get one of the AEW EVPs to come back, come crawling back, you know, to the so-called evil empire that he took pot shots at for all these years. It's a big deal. It's a big story. And could have repercussions in other ways. And again, I'm going to get into why that is. So 744 tomorrow is definitely one that you're going to want to check out. And yes, the Argonian in the chat, once the Cody segment goes live on the show, that will be a segment I clip for the YouTube channel on either Sunday night or sometime Monday morning. So, but I encourage you to check out. I know some people only check out the clips. I would encourage you to check out the full podcast, though, as everybody has been doing for the last 15 years. You believe it? 15-year anniversary in November of the podcast. We're going to have to do something special. Bash, I don't think Dustin's going anywhere. Dustin, I think, made it very clear already on social media that he's very happy in AEW. Probably not very happy that his brother is gone, but he's very happy in his position, and he doesn't really have a reason to leave. So, no, I don't think he's not going anywhere. Uffman, I like hearing that. That's the way to do it. You listen to the podcast and then the clips as well. So nice, you listen to it twice. That's the correct way of doing it. And there's always stuff on the main podcast that does not get clipped. I don't just take the whole show and put it on YouTube. So I have people who literally think I just record a 20-minute clip here, 6-minute clip there throughout the week. It's not how it works. It's a lot of content on those shows that you can only hear on those shows. The longest chamber match tonight was 15 minutes. I don't even think it was a full 15. I think it was 14 and change. Yeah, both chamber matches very, very short. We've had chamber matches that go 30 plus in the past. This was not one of those nights. Brooklyn Bleak with a very bleak outlook for Cody Rhodes. He's going to be treated like Lance Storm when he was in WWE. He'll be mopping floors and then never to be seen again. Liquid, thank you. I'm very happy that you consider the show to be the highlight of your Sunday. The Dreaded Shredder found Solid Monster through YouTube clips years ago. Now my Mondays aren't the same without the sound off. Well, you're going to have plenty of content this week. I survived the shaker hate. Oh, my God. I survived the shaker height spike. Just became a sound-off superstar. That is one of the more underrated finishing moves. If you don't know what the shaker height spike is, you got to go watch an old Beverly Brothers match. As brutal as that looked tonight with Madcap Moss getting spiked headfirst into the mat, these guys willingly would grab guys and just, you know, they would propel their opponent in the air. One guy would propel him up, and the other guy would just grab his head on the way down and slam him headfirst into the mat. And they called it the Shaker Heights Spike. So welcome to the channel. That brought me back. Brought me back to the Beverly Brothers. You can find on YouTube, there's that one botch. That one poor jobber whose neck, it looked like they broke his neck on the move. I don't remember the guy's name. But I'll bet if you type in Beverly Brothers botch or something on YouTube, it'll come right up. Yeah, no, it looks even more brutal than it sounds, Marcus. But you know what? You saw a lot of that back in the day. There were tag teams. There were guys that would take advantage of those enhancement guys all the time. The Steiner Brothers did it. I mean, they beat the hell out of a lot of those job guys. You know, I doubt they were paid much. But some of those guys took a hell of a beating. You know, if you couldn't have paid me enough to step into the ring in WCW in the early 90s for a squash against Vader, I would be out that back door. There would be a plume of smoke behind me. I'd be out that back door of that building so fast. You couldn't pay me enough money. That's right, Von Wagner. That's right. One of the Beverly Brothers is indeed the father of Von Wagner from NXT. Tell the Dolph Ziggler printer story again. I already told it on the podcast years ago. I wish I could remember what episode it was. It was a long time ago, though. Yeah, that was a long... I dated her, probably... I dated her over a decade ago, I think it was. Will Alexa Bliss get added to the title match of WrestleMania? No. No. I mean, she got beat. I know you're not happy about that, but she got beat. There was no controversy about the way in which she was beat. Like Liv Morgan, I mean, she was beaten pretty decisively on the show. And I think that's going to feed into the storyline with her. But having her added to the title match, I can't imagine that's what happens. I don't have any sense that that's going to happen whatsoever. Yeah, Steve, and shout out to Steve. I hope you're feeling well, on the mend. That was a story from a few days ago. D-Von Dudley, he's been working as a producer in WWE for a while now. Hey, you know, injuries catch up with you. Injuries catch up with you, and he had to undergo spinal fusion surgery. I think, what was it, back fusion? It was some kind of fusion surgery involving his neck and maybe his back. And he was told he'll never wrestle again. Now, he hasn't wrestled anyway in about, I think, 6 years. But at least he'll be able to move around and live a somewhat normal life. You know, wrestling isn't always the most important thing in the world. So all the best to D-Von as he recovers from what's some pretty serious surgery. Yeah, surgery on his L4, L5, and L6. That's what it was. Yeah, it was a mess. I mean, they said when they went in that the doctor said it was more... The damage was more extensive than they had imagined before they cut him open. Gyro Splater, channel member for 5 months. Do you think Cody will use Kingdom in WWE? I think he will. I mean, I think he owns the song, or I believe it's his song. I think he has the rights. So, I mean, unless WWE doesn't want to, I think he would have the rights to use his AEW music. I could be wrong about that, but I am of the impression that I think he owns the rights to it. Or he could just go back to his old music. Remember that video from years ago, John Cena? They were filming some kind of documentary, and they were showing John Cena backstage, and he was going around like singing and humming Cody's theme. He's like, "Wow, down this fucking mirrors, there go Cody Rhodes." Cena was a maniac, a big smile on his face, just singing Cody's theme song. Hey, Cherry Wave, just became a channel member, a Sound of Legend. All right, I'm being told here, because I'm about to wrap this bad boy up, but I was just told by Hitman that we've got, what, 5 more likes, I think, until we hit 700? Let's see if we could hit 700 here before we end the stream. But Cherry Wave, thank you for becoming a member. It is catchy, I will say. I don't think he should go back to that, but it is a catchy song. I can see why John Cena would be singing it. He probably sings it in the shower. Maybe that's why Nikki broke up with him. She got tired of him, you know, in the shower every day. There goes Cody Rhodes! So they ended their relationship. 700! We are now part of the 700 Club here on this stream. Awesome. And then everybody on the download could get us up to 1,000 and above. But you guys got me to 700. I appreciate that. Derek Jackson, the $4.99, Veer, is getting the Brodus Clay debut treatment. He is. Only I think Brodus Clay lasted longer than Veer is going to last. Lita got her neck injury. She was filming a scene for a show called Dark Angel. And it was a stunt gone wrong on the show. Was that the Jessica Alba show? I think it was a Jessica Alba show. And she broke her neck. It was a stunt gone wrong. And she had to have fusion surgery. What are my thoughts on the return of Saturday night's main event? Saturday night's main event is... See, this is... I think people are, again, getting their hopes up here. It looks as if Saturday night's main event is being used as a house show gimmick. Like what they did with Starrcade years ago. Because they have back-to-back live events, I think in the Midwest, at the end of April, that are listed online as Saturday night's main event. You know, if it was one night, I would say maybe it's going to be some kind of a network special or something, but that looks to me like they're just trying to drum up ticket sales. So, no, I don't think Saturday night's main event in the traditional sense is being brought back. I think that story is Much Ado About Nothing. Bianca is boring. Hopefully somebody cuts off that ridiculous ponytail. Blasphemy. You cut off her ponytail, that's her whole gimmick. Her whole gimmick is gone. Can't do that. Sasha against Thunder would slap. Yes, it would. Sasha Banks against Thunder Rosa? Take my money now. What was a Saturday night in the 80s like? Lots of coke. Now, I was too young to know about that, but if I was a little bit older, probably a lot of coke. Now, the 80s were awesome. The 80s were awesome. Even people who were not born in the 80s but look back on the 80s say the 80s were awesome. The 80s were the best decade. I don't care what anybody says. Yes, Level Up is the new show replacing 205 Live. It's basically 205 Live with a different name. 205 Live should have been killed off a long time ago. It's long overdue. 80s rock. It was magical. That's why GTA Vice City, probably my favorite one. Did a whole game based around the 80s. It's a whole 80s theme. You know why? Because the 80s fucking rocked. That's why. Didn't they play Hall & Oates on one of the radio stations in the game too, in the car? I think they did. I think they played Out of Touch. It's my favorite song. How about a Saturday night in the 90s? That was almost as good. That was almost as good. The Attitude Era was fun. I was just the right age to fully enjoy the Attitude Era. Charlotte is ridiculously boring. Well, too bad. You're getting her in the WrestleMania main event whether you like it or not. I count four Hall & Oates songs through the GTA series. Well, I'm sure Out of Touch was one of them. I don't know what the other ones were. Nine more to go until seven. Oh, we're gonna hit 750, huh? If I stick around another 6 hours, we'll hit 1,000. Now I'm gonna get out of here. I'll let you guys go. I have to go figure out what I'm doing. You know what? I think my dinner is sorted. I think I know what I'm doing for dinner. I'm doing some Magic Spoon. I still have half my bowl here. I think I'm having Magic Spoon for dinner tonight. I do enjoy me some Magic Spoon. And again, support our new sponsor. Let's show them the force of the Sound Off family here. Use that link. Use that code. Get yourself $5 off. Let's make the Magic Spoon people go, holy shit. This guy's got a lot of listeners. This guy's got a lot of fans. We got to send him some more cereal. That's what we need to do. Oh, boy. Cereal first or milk? No milk. Soy milk. Anyway, yeah, I skipped last night's stream. There was no stream yesterday. There will be no review for SmackDown. Oh, there's no point. I mean, I mentioned last week there was a title change. Sami Zayn is the new Intercontinental Champion. As he should be. Rampage was fine. I don't really have a whole lot to say about it. We got to see Jay White wrestle. You know, they had a good match. But I don't have much to say about those shows. You know, that's one of the reasons why I didn't bother with the stream. I had a lot of work left to do for this weekend, and those shows just were not much of a priority this week. So I don't really have a whole lot to say. There will be no formal Rampage review or anything like that tomorrow. People who put milk first in their cereal are sociopaths. Who does that? Is that a thing that people do? Why would you put the milk in first? That doesn't make any sense. How do you know? You don't even know how much milk to put in until you know how much cereal is in the bowl. That just seems very counterintuitive to me. I don't know why you would do that. Stop doing that. You put the cereal in first to get a good gauge for how much milk you're going to need, and then only use the amount that you need so you don't use any excess milk. That is the proper way to do it. Very weird. Very strange. Anyway, thank you again. I will see you guys on Wednesday. I'll be live after Dynamite. That's the next time I'll be live here on the channel. There will be a lot of content going up, though, in the next few days from tomorrow's show. Do listen to tomorrow's show, 7:44. Hopefully by midday, mid-afternoon, I'm hoping. I'll be able to push that out to everybody. And Scott, you didn't miss much. Other than Brock Lesnar is the new WWE champion, but if you listen to the podcast, you already knew that. But thank you for the $4.99. And Drew Johnson, Solomonster, sorry I missed the call-in show. Cody sucks. Long live AEW. And we got a new channel member. Eugene, 2013, is a Sound Off legend. Well, that reminds me. We've had a whole bunch of people become legends today. And I uploaded a new lost episode of the show. Episode 13, Super Bowl Sunday, 2008. My Royal Rumble live review from Madison Square Garden and my thoughts on Brock Lesnar's UFC debut against Frank Mir. That's only for the Legends members. That is up right now. So if you're a new member, go back in the archives and you have the first 13 shows that I ever did. And the first SE Scoops live call-in show. It's all there for you guys. Is that who I think it is? Did we just get a super chat? There he is. I want everybody to put the thumbs up in the chat for our boy Fawaz. Fawaz, the one who brought the Sound Off sign to the show in Saudi, just chimed in. Thank you, buddy, for the kind words. It means a lot. My mission from now on is to get everybody to acknowledge you. Thanks, buddy. They'll be acknowledging me after that sign got on camera right behind Roman Reigns. That was awesome. You weren't kidding when you said that you had a better seat than you did last time.
Yeah.
There it is. Solomonster Bushwhacker Super Chat. That's the new $60 Bushwhacker Super Chat. I don't even remember why I did that. I see half these super chats and some of the goofy things I do, and I don't even remember why I did that. I don't even remember why I did that. Oh, you know what I think it was? I think I was saying if the Briscoes went to WWE. I think that's what it was. If the Briscoes went to WWE, they would turn them into a modern-day Bushwhackers. I think that's what I had said on the show. But Eugene, thank you, man. Thank you for the $60. I appreciate that. that is one of my favorite super chats. Hitman, you talking about me? I take that as a compliment. I'm in no rush to get old, my friend. I take that as a compliment. But Fawaz, thank you again. That was awesome. And I told you, anytime you you get that on camera, if either somebody screenshots it for me or I screenshot it myself, I put it out there so everybody can see it. Tundar, thank you. Says Solomonster has the best show in the IWC. It's a smart man right there. Tundar, you're a very smart man. Maz, no Rampage review this week. There's really not much to talk about. Nothing overly important happened on the show, other than Jay White. I mentioned already Jay White, his match with Trent. They had a very good match. It wasn't very exciting. Again, the crowd was, you could tell the crowd was tired at that point. But no Rampage review on the show. Fawaz, again, thoughts on the crowd tonight? I thought that for the matches where you would have expected them to be loud, they were very engaged. And then there were other parts of the show where they weren't as loud. But like in the Drew McIntyre match, they seemed to really be into Drew. You know, and they were giving him the yes chance. Brock, they love Brock. They seemed to explode when he came out. Because some of the Saudi shows, I don't know if it's the way the fans are spread out or whatever. You can tell people are excited to be there, but the noise doesn't always translate. I don't know if this might have been a newer building that they haven't been in before. But I thought they were pretty energetic, I thought, for the show. What happened to Sound Off Gamer? The plan is to try to bring it back next month. I'm hoping to pick up WWE 2K22 in Steam. You know, play it on here. Well, I don't know now. I'm a little concerned now. I don't know why this machine was lagging up and freezing on me before. This is a brand new machine. But it is very hot in here. So maybe that had something to do with it. But my hope is once 2K22 comes out for PC, I'll buy a copy and we'll try to bring back some of those gamer videos here on the channel. It's been a few years since I've done them. Yeah, well, as BlizzFan says, that's the other thing, Fawaz. It sounded like when Bianca won the Women's Chamber, there was a very vocal segment of the crowd that did not seem very happy. So I don't know if they were just hoping Alexa would win or just hoping that somebody other than Bianca would win. That I'm not sure. 2K22, my GM mode as Solomonster? Maybe. Maybe. Hitman with the $5 super chat. I've already forgotten half the matches. I will say Naomi seems to bring Ronda up. Noticed that today and on SmackDown last night. Well, Naomi is very good. That's a sign of a good worker when you can elevate the people that you are working with. Drew Johnson, HBK is the GOAT. Poor Brett really just sucks. Well, poor Drew's been drinking. He's got a drinking problem. It's, you know, I don't want to pick on the guy too much. So we'll just leave him alone. Revolution may be better than WrestleMania, or will be better. Dick Tickle says Revolution will be better than WrestleMania this year. It could be. That's a hell of a card they got on paper. Revolution is shaping up to be one hell of a show, so you might be right. All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here for real this time. Thank you again for all of the new channel members and all the super chats, and this has been a wild afternoon here. You guys have picked me up. Nonstop work and prep for everything, but it was all worth it in the end. I love you too, Drew. And I have got a lot of work yet to do, but there will be a podcast tomorrow, and then I'm going to be back live with you again for Dynamite on Wednesday night as we get closer to the end of the month of February. Before you know it, we're going to turn around. It's going to be March. Where does the time go? Where, oh, where does the time go? All right, I'm going to stop doing that. I'll see you guys tomorrow and again on Wednesday night. Take care, guys.